that you as a congregation made a decision maybe about a year ago that it was time to call a settled minister again. That maybe you're tired of having to say goodbye to contract ministers. That you're tired of rehashing mission and vision statements. That you've had this new minister coming in every few years to tell you that you're doing everything wrong and you're going to have to change everything if you're going to succeed. I understand that. So you tasked the Ministerial Search Committee with the impossible mission to find the right minister to serve you indefinitely for as long as the relationship works. No pressure. So it has taken a lot of effort for many people for me to be able to be here with you today. And I'm pretty excited and, frankly, a little intimidated about this week. And I hope that we, well, click. That you can see me as your minister moving forward. And that I will continue to feel that I am where I need to be with you. That I have something to offer you just as all of you have something to offer me. And that maybe we'll even be able to work well together. And it's possible, maybe, that you've noticed I'm wearing my clergy robe and this beautiful stole this morning. And I did hear that Eve did not robe very often, mostly just for special occasions and holidays. So my being here in my clerical garb might feel a little strange. And when I wear my robe, this is a reminder to myself, and maybe it can be for you as well, that every time we gather for worship, we are doing something special, something that pulls us out of the ordinary and into a sense of the extraordinary. That this time we set aside to attend to what is important, whether it be within our own hearts and souls or of importance to the wider community and the world. Worship. To shape that which is of worth. And of course, the geek inside of me is tempted to assert that I need my wizard's robe to do the magic up here. But really, it is about pulling myself out of the day-to-day to pay attention to the sacred nature of this time. And maybe this morning it's a little bit about showing off this beautiful stole that was presented to me just last weekend by the Universalist Unitarian Church of Peoria, Illinois, when they ordained me. And that was an amazing experience, to be ordained by a congregation that knew me as an intern. I realize that you may never have had the opportunity to attend a Unitarian Universalist or installation service. But you should know that it is the closest thing to high church that we do. The clergy wear their robes and stoles and process into the sanctuary at the beginning of the service. The president of the congregation leads the act of ordination itself, which is spoken in unison by the members of the congregation. For in our tradition, only congregations have the authority to ordain a minister. Colleagues and ministers speak words of wisdom to the new minister and to the congregation. And then there's this amazing moment, the laying on of hands. And for me, this was when the minister of religious education from my home congregation growing up called on my family, and then my colleagues, and then everyone present to come forward and lay a hand on my shoulder. Or if not that, the shoulder of someone touching my shoulder, or their shoulder, and on, leaving me at the center of a wobbly amoeba of caring. I cried. Of course, I cried throughout most of the service. I cried because the love surrounding me was more than I could hold in my being. It spilled forth in tears. Tears that struggled to comprehend the sheer power of this love. To touch, for that moment, a love that is greater than all things, a love that calls me to be a part of it. And I sincerely hope that you have had experiences like this, of being connected to others and the world around you in a way that transcends words. Somehow the moment feels more right than other moments of life. It is the briefest of understandings that somehow, amidst all of the worries and the disconnect, something is right. For truly, there is love surrounding you. I know that all will be well, that I will be well, when love whispers near to me. Glints at the corner of my eye rests with gentle and persistent invitation upon my shoulders. On the days when I find myself drawn to theist language, which are only some days, because I was raised in a humanist Unitarian Universalist congregation, and interestingly, the theology with which we are raised somehow sits in our bones in ways that we may or may not notice until it has a reason to be clear. And so on those days that I do use theist language, I come to the same conclusion that so many theologians and people of faith have stumbled upon over the centuries, that God is love. In our call to worship this morning, it was the 13th century, as in 1200s, woman mystic, Mechthild of Magdeburg, who stated that the soul must seek God, who is love. And the same sentiment comes through within our other readings I shared this morning. Emerson's instruction to give all to love, and Reverend Kevin Tarsa shifting the 23rd Psalm from the language of Lord to that of love, a work that he did in the last year. So this love, which I write with a capital L, is bigger than romantic love or familial love. They're within it. Part of it, but a religious sense of love exists beyond a feeling or specific relationships. The seventh principle of Unitarian Universalism, the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part, begins to grasp the immensity of the love around and within us. Love is a web, and we feel it and touch it in our relationships with one another and with the world. Love is a force that drives us forward in our lives, that calls us into the people that we can be for ourselves and the world. Love is comfort and reassurance that despite the pain and grief inherent in our humanity, we are not alone. We are not alone. You are not alone. Now, I'll step back for just a moment and acknowledge that sometimes this message, that you are not alone, is impossible to take in. I preach it. I base my theology upon it because of how often in my life I get caught in the terrible mental and emotional feedback loop that insists that I am alone, even sometimes that I am unlovable. And this is probably a more prevalent human experience than the understanding of connection of which I just spoke a few minutes ago. And it breaks my heart that this is true. That it is true for me, that every one of us has felt truly alone. Unloved. Unlovable. How can it be that we are creatures who find it easier to accept the negative than the glorious and the amazing? That somehow it is easier to recognize loneliness than love. So I will remind you again and again, just as I must remind myself, you are not alone. You are loved. So sit with this for a moment. Just let the words wash over you. You are not alone. May I remember in this tender moment that love is my guide always, shepherding me toward ways of openness and compassion. You are not alone. I have what I need, really, with love at my side, above me, below me, in front of me, behind me, inside every cell of me, love infused everywhere. You are not alone. Just when the weight of the world I inhabit threatens to drop me in place and press my hope down into the ground beneath me, love invites me to rest for a gentle while and leads the center of my soul to the quiet, still restoring waters that somehow I had not noticed. You are not alone. And so love quietly sets me once again on its tender and demanding path. You are not alone. Even when the walls close around me and the cries of death echo from untold corners, gripping my heart with fear and sadness, I know you are not alone. I know that all will be well, that I will be well. When love whispers near to me, glints at the corner of my eye, rests with gentle and persistent invitation upon my shoulders. You are not alone. Yes, love blesses me even as the sources and symbols of my pain look on. Love blesses me from its infinite well, and I turn and notice you are not alone. That goodness and kindness and grace follow me everywhere, everywhere I go. You are not alone. I live in a house of love, love that will not let me go. You are not alone. I live in a house of love and always will. You are loved. You are loved. How did that feel? Were you able to accept these words? Or did something inside of you question whether they could be true? Did you want to put up a wall separating yourself? Or did you feel a wall crumble? I ask that you not place any judgment upon what you notice. Approach it instead with curiosity. What is happening inside of you, and what meaning might you be able to take from it? At the same time that love provides us with comfort, it also calls us forward. Emerson tells us to give all to love. Reverend Tarsa reminds us that love shepherds us toward ways of openness and compassion, sets us on its tender and demanding path. The tender and demanding path of love. The path that calls us to action, to care for one another, both within this community and outward. To love the world is no easy feat, for we must work within ourselves to take down walls, to form connections outside of ourselves and outside of our comfort zones, to love people and communities that we have never met and who differ from us greatly. I have to remind myself that when we affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of each and every person, it includes the politicians with whom we disagree vehemently. It's a hard one to swallow. I struggle. Love calls us to it, to further its presence and influence in the world. When I use this expansive meaning of love, I feel as though it's forcing me beyond just myself. As I reflect upon the experience of an ever-present love, I feel as though I have no choice but to recognize everyone else around me as well. Because with love, it can't just be about me. And so it's about you also. It's about everyone I encounter, because love exists in relationship. Relationship demands that I seek understanding and add my effort to meet the needs of those around me. This is challenging work, and it is the work to which I am inherently called as a person. Love is calling me into bringing my love and compassion to the world. Do you hear it calling you as well? So I'm only just meeting you today, and yet here we are, feeling each other out, opening ourselves to the possibility of my becoming your minister. It feels a little strange. Or is that just me? And I want to tell you that even though we have just met, I love you. I see the greatest love of all shining from your eyes, forming connections, demonstrating that web of which we are all a part. I hope that love will be with us during our time together over this next week. That you will be asking so many questions of me at the same time I want the opportunity to know you. I will tell you one more time, here and now. You are not alone. You are loved. May it be so, and amen.